Greetings, dear friends. I'm becoming fond of you. And thank you, Wendell, for introducing. And I have just one word to say to Arthur and Darius. I'm so pleased that you're thinking about teaching. And I have a word for you from William Butler Yeats on teaching, on education. And it's for all of you, because we are all called to be teachers. Whether we're mothers or fathers or friends, if we know another single person in the world, we are indeed partly a teacher. And he said, education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. Changes our view just a little bit when we think about that. You've asked thought-provoking questions and made thought-provoking comments to me, you know, in public and after tellings. And I've really been thinking last night and this morning about Luke 15. You know, I conjured a little bit of the return of the prodigal, and we talked about it, and then I had a visit with, well, Jonathan asked the question about how we are truthful in telling stories, and then Jim was telling me about his issues with his past and with growing up with what he called the Christian Brothers and how difficult they made math for him. And so I just want to talk for a minute or two before the stories start on Luke 15. Luke 15 is three stories by Jesus. The first one is the lost sheep, and then there's the story of the lost coin, and then there's the story of the lost son. And the framework is the Pharisees, and they are muttering, and they're saying, look, he says he's a rabbi, but he's eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. I mean, there's something not right here. And so Jesus responds to them specifically with these stories to explain. And when I think of the story of the lost son, of the prodigal, the returning prodigal, I think of Rembrandt. And that huge picture that he painted over 500 years ago, and the one I have seen hangs in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg, but it's not any one particular moment in the story. It is the points that he wants to bring out in it. And I wish I had it here to show you, but I'll just describe it briefly. The father, like a king, an old, worn-out king. His eyes are blind, and he's got his hands out like this. And his returning son is kneeling, and he's got his head on his father's lap. And the odd thing is, the prodigal son's head is shaped. The proportions are like a newborn baby's head. There's rebirth going on here. And then there's the light. Rembrandt's light in that picture is just amazing. It is a radiant, ethereal, divine light that illuminates the face of the Father. It almost feels like light's coming out of his face. And it bathes his returned son, his found son, in light. And to the side stands the brother, the older brother, who is angry and resentful. But he's there, and the circle of light illuminates his face, even in its anger. There he is, and he's trying to figure out, we don't know what became of the older brother, but we know the feelings that he had, and we see ourselves in him sometimes. And then over here on this side, there are three characters that are in the shadows, and we don't know who they are. We don't know what Rembrandt had in mind. There's a very vague picture up top, and we think maybe that's the mother. And over here is maybe a servant, kind of in a rag. But here, in the shadows, is this expensive person. He has nice clothes on and a beautiful hat. And he has an intelligent face, and his eyes are clear, even though he's not illuminated. He's there, and he's looking intently to see. He's very interested in the story unfolding, in the light, in the return of the prodigal. But he's not. And And we think he's a representation of a Pharisee, someone who knows the law, knows the scripture, both directions, knows all the facts. He's got them all up here. But he's not participating. He's looking with interest, but he is in the dark over here. When I came back from university to community, I was, in one sense, that Pharisee. I was cocky, I was confident. I was an anthropologist. I was dissecting. I was understanding with my head. And I was a little bit condescending. But the most important thing is there was an aspect of my life in which I was standing over here looking in. What I want for myself and what I want for each one of you is participation. In the Church of Jesus, in the circle of radiant light, I want not just to observe resurrection from some distance, I want to live resurrection now with you. So that's what's been running through my mind last night and this morning. I go to storytelling festivals and I go listen to tellers sometimes. And I heard the story I will tell you from a short little man, and his stage name was Izzy. And he juggled, and he really got me excited about juggling. I went home, and I figured out how to teach myself how to do that because of him. And this is and the story he told is not his story, really. It's a story that comes out of Poland. It comes from the rabbinical tradition, and it has several different forms. But I'll tell it a little bit the way it's come to me through Izzy Twinski, and it goes like this. In a far-off kingdom, down inside a castle, in the kitchen, over by the sink, under a table, sat a young boy who one day would become king. But there was something horribly wrong with him. He thought he was a turkey. People say that there was a great feast that was put on in that castle. All the lords and ladies came from the kingdom, and they sat around and they ate and they drank. And when they were done, the king got up and he made a speech. And the speech was about power and domination. And then the queen got up, and the queen told a story, and it was a story about beauty and being graceful. And then people say the young prince was pushed up on the table and he was expected to tell a story or make a speech. And he looked around like this. He was 13 years old. And all of a sudden, he turned and he jumped off that table and he ran out of that room, down the hall, and as he ran, he threw off his velvet cape. He tore his silk shirt apart, ripped off his stockings and his pants. And he ended up down in the kitchen, sitting under the table, gobbling like a turkey. And nobody could get him to come out of there. Now, I will just tell you, the prince did not want to be a turkey. It wasn't in his plans at all. But when he thought about being responsible, like his father the king, he knew it was impossible for him. And the wonderful thing about being a turkey is you don't have to be a king. So there he sat. He would not come out, would not talk to anyone. And the only thing he would eat is grain that the cooks would throw down on the floor under the table. He'd peck at that. Well, the king and the queen were horrified and disturbed. Why wouldn't they be? They called in doctors. They called in nurses, sages and monks to heal their son. And they tried. They gave green potions and foul-smelling lotions and incantations, and nobody could do anything for him. His parents were in despair when one day somebody came up the path and knocked on the door and said, "I'd like to see the king and the queen." He looked shabby, but he came in there. He was a stranger to everyone. His clothes were ragged, but his face shone like a new star. And he did a ridiculous bow when he said, "I'd like a go at curing the prince." The father said, "Why not? Everybody else has tried." And so he went down to the kitchen and he stood in a corner and he watched the strange activity of the turkey prince for 2 days, silently. And on the third day, to everyone's surprise, he tore off his shabby coat and he threw away his clothes and he went down and he squatted under the table by the sink next to the turkey prince and just stopped right there. The turkey prince looked at him and for the first time in weeks, he opened his mouth and he said, "Just who do you think you are? And what right do you have to be down here with me?" Well, the healer said, "I'm surprised you can't tell. I'm a turkey just like you." And the prince thought, "Well, great, I have companionship. He's a turkey just like me." And they enjoyed each other's company, and they pecked at the grain together, and they chatted a little bit. And this went on until late that night when the fire died out in the cook stove. It got cold. And the healer looked at the shivering prince and he said, "Watch this." And he got up from out from under that table and he went over to a hook and he got a big warm cloak, wrapped himself up in it, and he came back and he sat down there. "What?" squawked the prince. "Are you doing? You're a turkey. How can you wear the clothes of a human?" The healer talked slowly. He said, "I know what I'm doing. I'm a turkey who is cold, and it's just fine for me to wear a cloak to be warm." The prince thought, "He's right. A cold turkey could wear a coat." And he got out and got himself a cloak too, wrapped himself up, and it was much more comfortable. The next night, the healer looked at the prince and said, "I'm hungry, and they're not going to throw grain down for us until tomorrow morning. Watch this." And he got out from under the table, and he went over, and there was bread left over from the day. And he slabbed off a nice big piece. And there was yellow cheese over here. And he got a big, heavy chunk of, put it on there, and took a big bite. And the prince said, "You're a turkey. How can you eat human food?" The prince, or the healer, said slowly, "I know what I'm doing. I'm a turkey who's hungry for bread and cheese, and so I can eat it." Well, the prince thought, "Great. I'm actually hungry for bread and cheese too. And he came out and got himself a slab of bread and a wedge of cheese. And they ate and were happy. And day by day, the prince grew more confident and trusting of the healer. And they got out from under the table. And he led him out the door of the castle. And they went walking through the paths of that little kingdom. And they saw old people, and they saw young people. They saw sick. They saw children playing. They saw people dying. And the prince was frightened, but he followed, and he saw. And then the healer said, "We're going on a trip." And the two of them took off with some provisions. They went over mountains. They went through deserts. And the prince learned how to find water where there was none before. He learned how to build bridges over rivers. And he learned how to find a smile on a sad child's face. By the time they got back from their big trip back to the castle, the prince was thinking human thoughts again. And he'd grown through that difficult time. And when they presented to the king and the queen, the healer said, "My work is finished here. Here is your son back to you again." Well, the king and the queen were incredibly grateful. They gave the healer a new cloak, a bag of gold, and all of the gratefulness and thankfulness that parents could give to have their son back again. And with a ridiculous bow, he made his way out of the castle, down the path, and on. The wheels of time turned. The king and the queen grew old, and they died and were buried. And the turkey prince took his father's place in ruling the kingdom. And he loved the people of his kingdom, and he'd go out and he'd meet with them. And he would ask how he could help. And people came to him with their problems. And one particular day, he was at this little village, and he gave a speech, and he talked about redemption. He talked about resurrection. And as he was speaking, he noticed a couple who were very sad. And as soon as he was finished, they came up to him. And the king, "We have a terrible problem. And I'd like you to try and help us fix it." And the wife said, "It's impossible. There's nothing anybody can do." So the king said, "What's the matter?" And husband said, "We have a boy. We have a boy at home, and he thinks he's a turkey." "Take me to him at once," the king said. And the turkey king came with the husband and wife to their little house. And there, down the hall, in the kitchen, over by the sink, under the table, sat a frightened little boy. Without any ado, the king threw off his cloak, and he went right over there, and he squatted down under the table right by that little boy. And the little boy looked at him, and he said, for the first time in months he spoke, he said, "Just who do you think you are? And what right do you have to be here under the table with me?" And you know what the king said? He said, "I'm surprised you can't tell. I'm a turkey just like you." Turkey Prince, thank you for listening to me. I'd like a tiny little break right now, so if there'd be a verse of a song or something, and then I'll have one more story, and then we get lunch.